Today's shiur is Masechta Avodah Zarah Daf Chaf. We will begin on Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis at the Mishnah on the bottom of the Amud. The Mishnah begins, Ve'ein oisim tachshitim l'avoydes kachavim. One may not produce jewelry on behalf of Avodah Zarah. Katlos, nizamim, tabos, chokers, nose rings. Rebbe Lezer, however, says, b'schar mutar. If one does this for pay, it's permitted. Tosfos teaches us that this line of the Mishnah in his Gersa should not be here. Because Tosfos says that it's inconceivable to believe that anybody, Rebbe Lezer, would hold that it's mutter to manufacture jewelry on behalf of Avodah Zarah. And therefore Tosfos says that this line should be omitted. The Rosh Hashanah also go on to say that Rashi probably agrees, because Rashi, by not explaining what katlos, nizam, and tabos are, unlike Rashi, he normally would explain what they are, obviously also did not have this line of the Mishnah. And even though, as Tosfos goes on to say, perhaps what Rebbe Lezer, who's saying that they may be produced b'schar, doesn't mean l'tchachatchila one may manufacture them for the Avodah Zarah. Rather, what Rebbe Lezer perhaps means to say is that if b'di'evit somebody manufactured these items b'schar, he's allowed to keep the pay. To that, Tosfos says, doesn't make sense either, because we just learned the other day that Rebbe Lezer da Amayra is the man da Amr that holds that if somebody manufactured or produced or did something for Avodah Zarah, which he shouldn't have done, the halacha is that he could keep the pay. And if it's really already the opinion of Rebbe Lezer the Tana, the Gemara would not quote the opinion of an Amora teaching us a halacha when we already have a Tana teaching us that halacha. Continues the Mishnah, one may not sell them something connected to the ground, as we're going to spend time in a moment in the Gemara learning, that one may not sell property to a goy, and at Israel for sure. Tomorrow she will discuss what the halach is in Chutz Laretz. And our Mishnah goes on to say that not only does that halach apply to something that grows out of the ground, but that halach even applies to something that not only to the property itself, but even something that grows out of the ground like a tree. Aval moichahu, what he may do is sell mishiktsas from when it's already detached from the ground. That's the opinion of Ramey, as we'll see. Yehuda holds moichahu amnas lokotz, he could sell it as even if it's still attached, as long as there's a stipulation, an honest stipulation, that it will be detached, that's adequate. Machloikis Rishonim, how to understand our Mishnah. Is it to be understood that there's really only two Manda Omrim in the Mishnah? The first we have, the first opinion that says you can only sell something after it's detached, whereas that's the Tanakama, where it's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who's saying that you could sell it when it's attached, as long as you stipulate that it will be detached. That's one way of learning the Mishnah. Another way of learning the Mishnah, the Rishonim suggest, is that the Mishnah first makes a statement. Ein moichlam chubal karki, you're not allowed to sell them something attached to the ground. And now we have a machloikis. What does that mean? With the one man dama holding of moichu sheyiktsits, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees in saying pshat what the Tanakam holds. Furthermore, the Rishonim debate, clearly as we're about to learn in the Gemara, selling them karka is asur. Clearly, as our Mishnah teaches us, that also applies to ilanos, to trees. The question is, selling them karka, as we've been saying, is an issur daraisa. Is the issur of selling them trees also an issur daraisa, or is the issur of selling them trees only an issur darabanan? Furthermore, I saw the Rishonim ask, have a moichu mishiktsit. This man d'amar holds that once they're detached, he could sell it. Of course he could sell it once it's detached. Why not? So I saw a number of answers. One answer is that we would think perhaps, since the halacha is that you're not allowed to sell it when it's attached, perhaps Chazal would make a gzera that even when it's detached, they should not be sold. Teaches us the Mishnah, no, Mishiyiktsats, once they're detached, you may sell it. Another pshat that I saw is that even though this Tana says you can't complete the transaction until the tree is detached, so perhaps you can't even begin the transaction of selling it until it's detached. Teaches us the Mishnah, you can begin to do the transaction while it's attached, provided that the actual kinyan is not completed until it's detached. And a third pshat that I saw is that the Mishnah is teaching us that what would be the halacha if you have a tree that's a dead tree, that isn't nourishing from the ground anymore? May such a tree be sold or not? And our Mishnah is teaching us that according to this opinion, it only may be sold after it's detached, not when it's attached, even if it's getting nourishment from the ground. Ask the Gemara, mononymily, from where do we know this halacha that we're not allowed to sell property to an akum? Amar Rabbi Yosef Rav Chanina, Damakra, Loi Sichanim, the Torah says, Loi Sichanim, Loi Titan Lam Chaniya Bekarka. Can't give them any place in Eretz Yisrael. And as Tosfos points out, that even though if we look into the pasuk that says Lo Sichanim, the pasuk is referring to the Zion Umis, to the seven nations that lived in Eretz Yisrael. Says Tosfos, even though that pasuk is speaking about them, the Isser of Lo Sichanim is not limited to them. For Tosfos says that any Isser that pasuk mentions that doesn't seem to have a reason that we should differentiate between the Zion Umis and anyone else, the halacha is, this then applies equally to all goyim. And Tosfos says a very nice raya. One of the other yisurim is loisichatein, that we may not intermarry. Certainly, the isser of intermarriage doesn't apply strictly to the Zion Umis. The concern that intermarriage brings, if the mother's non-Jewish, that the children would not be Jewish, if the father's non-Jewish, shall have a negative influence on the children, doesn't make a difference if it's from the Zion Umis or not. And therefore, any Isser that there's no reason to differentiate, and like Sechonim, that we don't want to give them a foothold in Eretz Yisrael, is not limited to the Zion Umis. Chazanish says that this Isser doesn't only apply this man where Klal Yisrael are in Eretz Yisrael, like in the time of Mashiach, in the time when the Beit HaMikdash stand, but in all times, even where our presence in Eretz Yisrael is not a complete presence, the halacha is that Lo Sichanim, we may not sell property to the Akum. Furthermore, the Chuvis, however, does say that even though we're not allowed to sell property, even Bizman Hazeb, to Akum and Eretz Yisrael, his opinion is that Chalipin, to make a exchange where an Akum already has property in Eretz Yisrael, and we want to exchange one piece of property for another piece of property, he says that would be permitted. Ask the Gemara, Hailo Sechonim, Mibayalei, for we need the pasuk for Sechonim for something else, Dachar Hakam Rachmana, that the Torah is teaching us, Leisitelam Chain, that we're not allowed to compliment them, and we'll discuss this more later. Answers the Gemara. Im Kain, if that was all the pasuk was coming to teach us, Lei Mekra, the proper wording of the pasuk would be Lo Sichunim, my Lo Sichunim. Why does the Torah use these words? Shema Minotarti. So what the Gemara is teaching us is that the Kri goes in one direction, the Ksiv goes in another direction, and therefore we learn both of them to teach us both of these halachas. And even though, as the Ritva points out, and we've discussed this many times, particularly at the beginning of Masechta Sanhedrin, that there's a machlokes tanoim of yesh eim lemikra or yesh eim lemesiris. Do we follow the kri or the ksiv? That, what form of limud is primary? That only explains the Ritva when the kri and the ksiv can't live together. So then we have a machlokes, what takes precedence, the kri or the ksiv? But here, as the example of our Gemara, we're saying loisitlam chaniyah bekarka, or saying loisitlam chain, are not exclusive of each other. We follow both the kri and the ksiv. Ask the Gemara, the katmi boile, we need this pasuk to teach us another halacha. Docham rachmana, the Torah teaches us loisitlam matana shel chinam, that we're not allowed to give the akum any gift, that we're not allowed to give akum a gift for no reason. Answers the Gemara, if that what the pasuk were only coming to teach us, im kein leim akra loisachinim, my loisachonim, shmamina kula, to teach us all of these halachas. And tanya nami hachi, and so indeed we learn in the brisa loisachonim loititlam chaniy bekarka, that we shouldn't sell them property. Davachar loisitlam chain, that we shouldn't compliment them. We'll discuss this in a moment. Davach loisachonim loisitlam matnaschinim, don't give them a gift for nothing. So as the Rishonim discussed this halacha, because this is a very common question, giving gifts to Akum, when is it mutter and when is it asur? So the Rishonim say that if it's a situation where there's a question of darkei shalom, so certainly you're allowed to give a gift if it's a question of darkei shalom. Furthermore, the Paiskim say that if it's a situation where by giving them a gift you will have benefit, it's also mutter. Some Rishonim go on to say, if the Akum that you're giving the gift to is a person that you know, so it's not just that, it's also mutter, and there is no Isser of Loisachonim. In fact, rayas to these concepts that I've just seen, we have in the Torah. The famous parasha in the Torah, which is actually a little of a difficult parasha to understand, we all recall the parasha of Yosef with the Sar HaMashkim, where Yosef interpreted, Yosef HaTzadik interpreted the dream of the Sar HaMashkim, and then he asked the Sar HaMashkim to remember him, Ki Im Zuchartani, that you should remember me. And Yosef is actually somewhat faulted for relying on the Sar HaMashkim. Yet the question is, why did indeed Yosef do that? Why did he rely on him? The answer is, Yosef was concerned about Loisachonim. If he's going to give the Sar HaMashkim an interpretation of his dream for free, there's a problem with Loisachonim. So he had to get something back in return. So what he asked for return? Tell Paroi to remember me. And we have a similar question. Avraham Avinu, we all recall the parasha after the Milchama with Sodom, we just referred to it in our previous year. And after that war, Avraham Avinu goes and gives everything that he got in the war to the Melech Sodom. So the question is, how can Avraham Avinu give Melech Sodom all of that? Isn't there a problem of Loisachonim, Loititn Lamat Neschinam? So some Rishonim answer that no, that Avraham Avinu never took ownership of those items. He made a neder that he doesn't want, Harimais Yadi. He made a shvu that he doesn't want to have any benefit, so it wasn't his. The problem of Loisachonim only exists when you give something that belongs to you. These items never became Avram's. One teretz. Another teretz, very much in line what we've been discussing. Since Avraham Avinu knew that he's going to have to have relationship with the Melech Sodom, so it was to his benefit to have a positive relationship. And how would he create that positive relationship? By giving Melech Sodom these items. So then, if you're going to have benefit, it's mutter. But then I saw a very interesting teretz from Chaim Kanievsky. He says the only time there's an issa of Loisachonim is if you give something of value to you, that now this has some value to you, and you give it to the Akum without the reason that we've just given. But if you give something away that has no value to you, so you're not giving him anything because it's meaningless to you, and there's no issa of Loisachonim. I'll tell you how I understand this. I've had the shaila myself. What happens if it comes Erev Pesach? So invariably, people Erev Pesach can't figure out exactly they should have no chametz left in the house. So you have chametz left in the house, and let's say you don't want to sell chametz gomer, so you give it to a you're going to give it to an akum. So if you have an Akum that works for you, and by giving him a gift or giving her a gift, you will have benefit. So there's no problem with chanin. But let's say you have no such Akum working for you. So you go and you have to find an Akum. You literally have to find an Akum who you have no relationship with. And by giving him a gift, isn't that the Isra of Lois Lechanim? However, if we follow what we just explained, that given that that Chametz on Erev Pesach that you're giving to the Akum has no value to you, you have nothing to do with it. Otherwise, you throw it into the garbage. Giving something that has no value, there's no Isra of Lois Lechanim, and therefore you can give it to any Akum. Continues the Gemara. This issue that we've been discussing about giving a matnas chinam to an akum, says the Gemara Tanaihi, is actually machloikas tanoam. The Tanya, because it explains the Braisa. It says in the Torah regarding nevela. We know we're not allowed to eat nevela. Lo soichel kol nevela, legera she b'sharecha, tetnena v'achola, amachle l'nachri. The Torah tells us that if we have nevela, we have two options. Either give it to a ger, obviously we're not speaking about a ger tzedek, we're speaking about a ger toishiv. Ger Toshev typically means a person who accepted upon himself the Zayin Mitzvah B'nai Noyach, although there are Rishonim that suggest that that was the opinion of the Rambam, that the Ger we're talking about here is a Ger Toshev who accepted upon himself the Zayin Mitzvah B'nai Noyach. However, there are other Rishonim that say it's not speaking about a Ger Toshev, because nowadays, as long as he's an individual that was mekabel himself not to worship Avodah Zarah, that is enough. It's very relevant because, for example, there are religions that obviously aren't necessarily makbid or Zayin Mitzvah B'nai Noyach, but don't believe in Avodah Zarah. Islam is a very perfect example of that. What would be the halacha of somebody who in that category? So again, the Torah says, Lo'soich l'kol nevela, l'gerash b'sherecha tetnana v'acholoi, amachli l'nochri. So the Torah teaches us that we should either give it to the ger or sell it to a nachri. Continues the braisa. Ainli elo leger ben asina. This pasuk teaches us that the ger can be given these items ulo'ev kechavim b'mechira or sell it to the akum. Continues the braisa. How do we know leger b'mechira minayim? We don't want to give it to the ger. We want to sell it to the ger. Tamloim tetnena. You could give it. Tetnena oy macher. You could either give it or sell it. Furthermore, how do we know that if we don't want to necessarily sell it to the Akum, we just want to give it to the Akum, it's permitted? You can either give it to him or sell it to him. Based on this, we understand whether it's a ger or whether it's a loyv kachavim, you could either give it to him or sell it to him, divrei Rameya. That is the opinion of Rameya. Rav Yehuda says no. The pasuk should be followed literally. Dvarim kiksavim. You have to follow the pasuk literally. Leger v'nesina. Leger has to be given. The ger we give it to. Lev kachavim mechira. The gav kachavim we don't have an option to give it to. Why? Because according to Rav Yehuda, there's a problem of loisichonim. You're not allowed to give a gift to Akum. And therefore, the Avikachavim, you could only have one option. Sell it, not give it. Ask Taisus. So according to Yehuda, this Pasuk is teaching us that you're not allowed to give a gift to an Akum. So why do I need the Pasuk of Lysachanim to teach us that? Why can't we learn it from this Pasuk? Answers Taisus. That if we were only to have this Pasuk is a mitzvah saseh. So we would only know that if somebody gives an Akum a gift, he's over a mitzvah saseh. How do we know that you're over a mitzvah loisa say if you give an akum a gift? That's why you have that pasuk also of loisa chanim. To teach us that you're over both a mitzvah say and mitzvah loisa say. Furthermore, in the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, where Rabbi Yehuda says, leger benes, that dvarm kiksavim, we must take the pasuk literally, and a ger benesina, loiv kachavim mechira. So I have come here, we just explained. There is no option of giving it to an Akum. Why is there no option of giving it to an Akum? Because you're not allowed to give him a gift. But what about the ger? The nesina must be that you give it to him a gift, or could you sell it to a ger? What would be the halacha? You have a ger who could easily afford to buy it. Do I still have to give it to him as a gift? Machloikus Rishayim. Some Rishonim say, of course. It doesn't mean, even Rabbi Yehuda will agree that if you could sell it to the ger, you don't have to give it to him as a gift. Other Rishonim say no, that and that's what the words of the Gemara seem to say, that the Torah mandates that you give it to the ger, it belongs to the ger Toshev, and you can't ask for money. Rabbi Yehuda Yimid Varam Kiksovim. Leger bin Sina, Ulav Kachavim bin Mechira. Ask the Gemara, Shapakama Rabbi Rameya, but hasn't Rameya explained the Pasuk well? That seems to indicate that either method is valid with either one of these individuals. Rabbi Yehuda Imelach answers Rabbi Yehuda. If Rameya were correct, Rabbi Yehuda Imelach lo sakadaitach kidakama rechmana, kidakama Rameya. What Rameya says, I hold is incorrect. Because were Rameya correct, lichta rechmana, the Torah should say, titnenav achloy mocher, oi lamali. Why did the Torah add the word oi, shmamina, to teach us, Ladvarim kiksavim, that the Torah, that the wording of the pasuk is specific. Ladvarim kiksavim hu da'asar, that the pasuk is teaching us that you have to follow exactly what it says. Rameya, how does he respond to that? He says, the ayis kam yatum, teach me, hahu lagdumi nesina neger lemchir da'ivik kiksavim. That we should give. That here we have two options. One option is to give it to the ger. Another option is to sell it to the akum, to teach us that we should give it to the ger first. Rabbi Yehuda, how does Rabbi Yehuda respond? I don't need a pasuk to teach us that, Rabbi Yehuda says. Kiven the ger at the mitzvah lach yosai. Since a ger, we have the obligation, given that he's a ger toishiv, that we have to sustain him. I don't need a pasuk. Ask Taisvis, if not at the Gemara established this svara, that we have to support the ger, so it's obvious that the sina to the ger comes before the mechira to the akum. So why, according to Rameya, does the Torah have to teach us to do so? Answers Taisvis are very bechiddush. We would think, don't give the ger nevela. Why? Because maybe, says Taisus, we want to encourage the ger toishiv to become a ger tzedek. And if he's going to get a free supply of meat, because we're giving him free nevela, it's going to accomplish just the opposite. So it teaches us the pasuk. No, we're not looking to encourage him to be a ger tzedek and give him the nevela, and even if that will cause that he'll remain a ger toishiv and not a ger tzedek. Now, ask Taisus another obvious question. Now that the Pasuk is teaching us that we should give it to the ger before we sell it to the akum. How do we understand that? Does a person, if I have a store and sell food, would anybody suggest that my business where I sell food, I have an obligation to give food away to people who need food before I sell it to people? I'm in business to sell. The Torah, when it says, speaks about the nevela, doesn't differentiate if that's your business or not. The Torah speaks to everybody. So why would the Torah tell us to give nevela to a ger before I could sell it to the akum? Answers Taisvis, a very bechiddush. Of course, nobody's obligated to close down their business. But Taisvis says, and those, where are we speaking about? We're speaking about an Eretz Yisrael, in a world where people are following the Torah. So nevela doesn't really have much value. So, even if I sell, what will I get for it? What can I get for nevela? There are very few people that are interested in nevela. That's why, since this item doesn't really have a lot of value, give it to the ger before you sell it to the akum. We learned before, davach lo sechonem leititin lamchen. Don't compliment them. Mesaleh l'rav. Dama rav. Osu l'odom shiyoy mekamen no avoydus kachavim zu. Person not allowed to compliment avoydus zoro. And again, as the Sefer Chinuch explains, the reason is because we want to separate ourselves from the akum. And the more we compliment them, it only creates a connection. Ask the Gemara, may say, Master Rishim Gamaliel Shoya Gaba Mal Baharabais. Rishim Gamaliel was standing on the steps of the Harabais. Vura Avadis Kachavim Achas Nobi Yosef. He saw a very beautiful Avadis Kachavim, a woman, Omar Marabah Masecha Hashem. Vafra Bakiva. Continues the Gemara, Bakiva saw Ashes transborn as Harosha. And as the Rishonim explain what happened. Rabbi Akiva and Transparence HaRosha would have debates all of the time. And Rabbi Akiva would always prevail. And Transparence HaRosha would come home in a bad mood. So one day Transparence's wife asks him, why are you always coming home in a bad mood? So he said, because I'm always getting into a debate with Rabbi Akiva and I'm always losing. So she says, let me take care of Rabbi Akiva. Elkeim shel elu soyne zimahi. The God of the Jews hates immorality. So what I'm going to do is, I'm going to try to seduce him. And like that, he'll have a mapola chas v'shalom. So as she tried to seduce him, obviously unsuccessfully, when Rabbi Akiva saw her, rock, soch, ubacha. He spit, he laughed, and he cried. And as Rishonim explained, some of what he did, she didn't understand what he was doing. Some of what he did, he explained to her what he was doing, and some of what he did, he wasn't ready to explain. Rock, why did he spit? Because as beautiful she was, where do we all come from? We just come from semen. That's what he was sending her, the message, that we're all nothing. In fact, I saw an interesting pshat. We all know that what is the chalitza process? That if the brother-in-law refuses to do yibum, chalitza is done. And what is done in the chalitza process? The woman spits at him. Why spit? Because spit is so similar to semen, as we just learned in our Gemara, to Zera. And what she's saying to him is, you refuse to have relations with me. You refuse to marry me. And that, like that, perhaps we should have children together. Lahakim shame la'achiv, that your brother who died without children should have a kiyum. That's why I'm spitting. I'm showing you what you could have done with the semen, but you didn't. Sochak, he smiled, the seed of the Megayr V'Nosavla. Because ultimately what this woman did was she converted and Akiva married her. This is what he didn't tell her. Ubacha, and he cried, the high Shufra Bolivara. This beautiful woman will end up in the ground as everybody will. So how could Rav have done, how could he have done so? He would just said, Osa Shitalam Chain. So Zamar, Rav Aduyu Kudamayda. He wasn't complimenting her, he was complimenting Hashem that created such a beautiful, that created such beautiful people. And Gemara goes into that. Interesting halacha, the people don't know. It comes out at times that people have to sit with Akum at meals, different situations. And if you washed, you have to bench. And part of the Nusach bench, Ken Yivarach Oysanu Kulanu Yachad, that we say a bracha, that all of us are sitting by this table, should be blessed. But here we're learning the halacha is that if you're sitting by akum, by meal, you're supposed to say, all of us that are b'nei bris, we should be blessed. People don't notice. On the other hand, I've seen people that say it all the time. Even, they usually don't say with akum, they incorporate this as part of the nusach benching. Domamar. How do we know we're allowed to thank Hashem? Because the halacha actually is, as quoted in Masechet Brachos, Haray Bri is Tavis, as somebody sees beautiful people, Amar Baruch Shekocha Bara Ba'alamai. So the Mefarshim ask that there are Gemaras that speak about different positive things that the Akum did. In fact, we're going to have a Gemara in a few blot on Daf Chof Gimel that quotes the famous story of Nesina Ben Duma, who was the paradigm of Kibra Ve'im, and he was an Akum. So if our Gemara is saying, we're not allowed to compliment them, how do we say Gemaras where Akum are complimented? So I sort of Mefarshim answer, and maybe we could pay attention as we learn these Gemaras, that there are two reasons why a Gemara would mention this. Either to teach us a lesson, in other words, the Gemara just quoted, where that Gemara is used to teach us how far we should go to be makayim, the mitzvah kibbut aveim. So when we're learning something, we're allowed to speak about their positive attributes. Or the Gemara sometimes quotes a story about the Akum and does speak positively about them, but says as great as they were, the Klal Yisrael is even greater. So if the purpose of the Gemara is to compliment Klal Yisrael, then it's permissible to do. Asked the Gemara, Ulstakuli Mishari, was he allowed to look and see how pretty And the Mefarshim say it's not Rabbi Kiva going back to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Meisra, it says in the Pasuk, Nishmat mikol davar ra, shlo yistakel odam b'isha no, a person not allowed to look at a pretty woman, v'afil p'nuya, b'eishis ish, v'afil, even a pretty woman, if she's a p'nuya. B'eishis ish, and b'eishis ish, we even have to be more machmer, v'afil m'chmeris. V'lev b'git sevesh alisha, we're not allowed to look at her nice clothing, v'lev b'chamar, v'chloy b'chamayra, not with a donkey as they mate. V'lev b'chazir, v'lev b'chazira, and the Farshim explain that the reason these are specifically mentioned are because these are the animals that are most likely to have relations in public. So the Farshim explain means that even wherever you go, you're going to see something that's not sneeze, you have to do something to avoid it. One pshat. Another pshat is that a person doesn't have an excuse to say, sometimes a person says, I have a weakness that I look. It's not an excuse. I feel if you're mole enayim, even if you're a person that, so to speak, has a problem with self-control, you have to work yourself. Amar al-Malach HaMavis. The Chazal said regarding the Malach HaMavis, Shekolim mole enayim. So Mefarshim explained, what does it mean that the Malach HaMavis is Kulam Malei Anayim? He says, the Gemara is comparing, so to speak, the Malach HaMavis, which we know is the Satan, to Hashem. Just like Hashem is all over, so too the Satan is Malei Anayim, he's all over. And he's always trying to set up situations for us to have moral challenges. And continues the Gemara, B'shas P'tirosa Shalchayla, as a person is about to leave the world, he stands by the head of the chayla, the chaber shlufa b'yaday, he has a sword in his hand, the tipel shamara tuliba, and he has a drop of poison that kills the person, kivin shachayla, and as soon as the ill person, the sick person sees the Malach HaMavis, Mizdazei, he trembles, or Peseich Pivin, he opens his mouth, the Zarkalatach Piv, and puts the poison into his mouth, Mimena Mes, and that poison causes the person to die, Mimena Masriach, it causes him to putrefy, and Mimena Panav Marikas, it causes his face to get decomposed. So the question is, how could he have looked? Answered the Mefarshim, there was a situation, Karen Zavasavai. It wasn't that he specifically went to look. He bumped into her as they were rounding a corner. Mefarshim make a number of points. One point that the Mefarshim make is that the Gemara only speaks about Rav Shimon Gamliel seeing the woman and asking a question, how did Rav Shimon Gamliel look at the woman? What about Rav Akiva? That he was having this conversation with Tzipornos HaRosh's wife. Why does the Gemara ask, what about Rav Akiva? So Mefarshim answered that the Gemara wasn't focused on Rabbi Kiva, because Rabbi Kiva is speaking to a situation where the woman came to speak to him. What was he supposed to do? A person speaks to you, you have to look at that person. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, it seemed, however, was looking purposely. That the Gemara had a problem with. So the Gemara answers Karen's office. Furthermore, the Rishonim say, this is the minig, that the reason that the Gemara here says that a person, as he dies, the Malach HaMavis puts the poison into his mouth, and that's what causes the body to decompose. That's why the person should be turned over right after he passes away. There's a minig that people take a nifta and put him right away on the floor, face down. Why? Because the poison shouldn't spread in the body, which will cause more decomposing. However, the Yaivitz says that once the poison is in the body, it wouldn't help. What should be done is before the poison is in the body, it should be turned over. But the Yaivet says that you can't do either, because we've discussed many times that the halach is that someone, Rechman or Tzlon, who's a geisus, you're not allowed to touch, because anything you do could cause the death to come quicker. So you really want to turn him over before he passes away, but you can't turn him over before he passes away, because that will be even a bigger Aveira. And therefore there is no real Eitzah. The Gemara said that we're not allowed to look at the big day Tzeva Shalisha. Amar Yehuda Mishmul, Even if they're hanging on the wall, they're not being worn on the woman. Because looking at them could remind you of that woman. And therefore, says Rapapa, so therefore, since it's only an issue when you know the woman who wears it, so looking at the clothing could cause you to think about her. If you don't know the person, it wouldn't be a problem. The Brisa says big date seva shalisha. It doesn't say v'loyba big date sevoinim. Shmami no. It's not that the clothing is a problem. The problem is the clothing of a woman whom you know. Amar Rav Chisda. Furthermore, says Rav Chisda, hani mili batiki, where the woman has already worn those clothing, and therefore looking at the clothing will remind you of that woman. Avol b'chadati, if she's never worn them, so there's no connection. Less lamba. And Rav Chisda brings a raya that he's right. If you will not say that, anan mani lashpura hechiyavinan. How do you ever give a clothing to a tailor or to a cleaner to work with? He knows the person. He knows the woman that gives it to him. Hom kamastakel. It causes him to look at. Ask the Gemara ulatameich. There's a different reason why that's mutter. Because Hadam Rav Yehuda says, min b'minoi, if somebody takes care of animals, he could physically, if there's no problem of klayim, physically cause these two animals to mate. Not just physically cause them to mate. He can actually do the mating. Muta lahakas k'machab of v'shaferes. He can actually do the mating. The question is, if he's actively doing it, kam mistakel, and we just learned on top of the Amid that you're not allowed to look as animals mate. But what's the answer? Somebody who's busy getting a job done, that this is his job, he's busy getting his job done, he's not going to think, doesn't have time to think. Hachanami, the same too, the tailor, the cleaner, who's working with the clothing of a woman, whom he knows, and knows the clothing of the woman, there is no concern, because davidate tarit. Amamar, we learned before, memenonais, that from this poison that the Malach HaMavis drops into the person, from that the person passes away. Neima, suggests the Gemara, pliga d'Avud Shmuel, that this is an agreement with what, disagreement with what Avud Shmuel said. Damar Avud Shmuel, Amali Malach HaMavis, the Malach HaMavis told me, Ila the Chashina Liyakur de Briyasai, if I were not concerned for the honor of human beings, Havrana B'ayis Hashchit V'Kebehema, I would just tear a person by the neck. So we see he doesn't kill the person by poison. He kills him by strangulation or by cutting. And says the Gemara, what he meant was, the Malach HaMavis said that if he had his druthers, he would use this poison to cut the person. Says the Gemara that, as we learned, that poison causes the person to decompose. Masaila Rav Chanina bar Kahana, Dam Rav Chanina bar Kahana, Amri Bei Rav, Haroitz Shlo Yasriach, Meisoy Yavchen Al Panav. Tana Abonin, we spoke about this previously, Mnishmat Mikol Davara, comes to teach us, Shlo Yahar Odnam B'yoyim, V'yovele Dei Tumah B'layla. So as Mepharshim explained, and so this from Ramosha, here the Pasuk is teaching us that a person is not allowed to have machshavas by day, or not allowed to bring himself to a situation by day that could cause him to have an emission at night. But the Mefarsh Mass, we say another pasuk every day, like three times a day. So what's the difference between neshmat mikol davara and v'loisasuru? Says Ramosha, v'loisasuru is telling us that a person is not allowed to think about doing an aveira. That's one issur. V'neshmat mikol davara isn't talking to a person that is thinking about doing an aveira. It's just the person sees things that have an effect on him, and the Torah is saying, "Neshmat mikol davara." And furthermore, it could well be that neshmat mikol davara doesn't apply to people who are impotent. It doesn't apply to women. Vlesasuru applies to impotent people or to women. Mikan amar apinspayar, a very famous brisa. And that the Brisa speaks about the right way a person is supposed to live. And the Mepharshim ask, What is the connection between what Rav Pinchas ben Yair says and this braisa? Said Mefarshim, beautiful pshat. If the braisa is teaching us that what are the repercussions of doing the wrong things, the repercussion that everything is a cause and an effect in life. When the shmat mikol davarav, you're going to have, if you're going to put yourself into a difficult situation, ultimately that may cause you to do an aveira. We know that mida toiva is merubah mida pranius. So certainly, if a person puts himself in the path of doing the right thing, what that will cause is that he only will continue doing the right thing. Torah, maybe the day Zahiris. Somebody who learns Torah will come to a situation that he'll be Zahir. Zahiris, Mevila, Dei Zerizis. What's the difference between Zahiris and Zerizis? So Farshim say, Zahiris is before a person does something. A person, before he does something, plans out that he should do it in the proper way. That's why Tair Mevila, Dei Zahiris. If you learn the halacha, then you will know what is the proper way to do or not do something. And that will cause you, before you do whatever action you're doing, to plan it out to do it right. Once you plan out to do it right, and there are many pshatim, I agree to this braisa, and one should learn Mesilas Yesharim, which is the basis for this entire, which this braisa is the basis for that entire sefer. I'm just going to say a drop. Zahiris Mevila Dei Zerizis. Now we're talking, once you planned out how to do the mitzvah properly, while you're doing it, you should do it properly. Zerizis Mevila Dei Nekiyas. Zerizis causes you to have Nekiyas. Nekiyas here doesn't mean, some do say that it means cleanliness. Cleanliness is next to godliness. Others say, but that's not Pashup Shat. Nekiyas means that if you do a mitzvah properly, it will bring you to a position that you'll be pure without Aveira. Nekiyas Mevila Dei Precious. The next step in this will be that even something that maybe is mutter, but it isn't appropriate for a Ben Torah to do, a person who lives this life will come to that Madrega. Precious Mevila Dei Tahara. He'll be even on a higher Madrega. Tahara means that he's pure, not just clean. Tahara, maybe Ledei Kedusha. Kedusha, the difference between Tahara and Kedusha is that Tahara, the Mefarshim explained, is a person who is pure, but that isn't a positive. Just it's the absence of a negative. Kedusha is even higher, that the person comes to Madrega of Kedusha, that his life is imbued with holiness. Kedusha reveal a day. Tahara reveal a day. Kedusha. Kedusha Mevela Dei Anova, humility. Anova Medeela Dei Yerischeit. Yerischeit means that you're not just doing an Aveir because it's the wrong thing, but you're doing it because you're Yerushmayim. Yerischeit Mevela Dei Chesidus. And Chesidus Medeela Dei Ruach HaKodesh. And Ruach HaKodesh Mevela Dei Tchis HaMesim. The two pshotim, what it means Mevela Dei Tchis HaMesim. One is if we'll have a world of people acting this way, we will come to a world of Mashiach, of Tchias HaMesim. Another pshat is that a person who acts this way will be so great that he will have the power to be Mechayim Mesim. The Chesidus Gedol Mekulan, Chesidus is the highest Madrega, Shnema Al Dibarta B'Chazan L'Chesidecha. So far as I'm saying, if Tchias HaMesim is the highest Madrega, why does it say Ruach HaKodesh? Ruach HaKodesh is the highest Madrega. Same as far as Chesidus and Ruach HaKodesh is one and the same. A person who is a Chesed, that does only everything because that's what Hashem wants, that's the biggest Ruach HaKodesh. Ask the Gemara v'chassidus g'dol mekulon, v'plig Rabbi Shimon Levi, Rabbi Shimon Levi, anov g'dol mekulon. He also anov is the highest madrega. Shenema Ruach Hashem alakim alai, yan moshech asi levasr anovim chassidim loynemar. It doesn't say chassidim as the highest madrega, al anovim. Halamaritosh anovim g'dol mekulon. And it's interesting, you could just look in the Masha, you'll see that the Masha explains that this entire Brisa speaks about how a person should live from when he gets up in the morning till he goes to sleep at night. Fascinating Masha. Hey, Marcham Lahem, we learned in the Mishnah that we're not allowed to sell them trees to be cut down. Tan Rabbanan, Marcham Ilam Nas Lokotz, you could sell them an attached tree as long as you stipulate that you will cut it. Because it's Tiver of Yehuda, you have to follow that stipulation. Yehuda Ben Marcham El Ktsutza. Shachas, the same thing is grass that's growing Amnas logos. The guys is the Rabbi Yehuda. Ramayim and Meichem Elgzuzo. Comma grain. Amnas lichtz of a kaitz of the Rabbi Yehuda. Ramayim and Meichem Elgzuro. So obviously, ask the Gemara, why do we have to have the same machlokes three times? Betzricha. The Ashman Elon. The Hakam Ramayim. Kivin the like posit. A tree could stand forever. So person, we have to really be concerned that if it's not attached, mashilei. If it's not attached, it won't get detached. Aval hai, these other items, the kiposalei, the kimashalei, if you leave them posit, they only get deteriorated. Emen moidalei Rabbi Yehuda. V'yashmin bahani tarti, by the jilay yodosh of chayu, aval shachas, which is measurable, the yodosh of chayu, there may be emen moidalei rameya, where the person is not going to want to cut it. V'yashmin bahabakaka rameya, aval hanach, and the others, since the person doesn't want to keep them there, maybe moidalei Yehuda tzricha. Ibayluhu. What about in a situation where you're not allowed to sell an animal, but you sold the animal manas lishchat? Mahu. Hasim tamamai shar Rabbi Yehuda, v'lab reshus hakayim, v'lay matzim mashalei. You can't, you bought the tree, it's in somebody else's field, and he's going to come to you every day, cut down your tree. Al behema, once you take ownership of the animal, kivin the reshus of the kacham kaimi, once you sell him an animal, and it's now in his possession, that you have to be concerned that he won't shecht it. Adam aloshna, tashma, teaches us the Braisa, Tanya Behemam Nas Lishchet, Vishoichet, Divir of Yehuda, Remeyam Emarchel Elishchuta, the same achleks that we have regarding trees, we have regarding animals, teaches us the Braisa.